You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, folks. Be sure to visit my webpage at dr-history.com for over 440 true stories of the Old West. Also, now available on Amazon, my first book, a historical fiction based on true events entitled Coal Miner to Cowboy. The story of a young man born in England in 1850. He wants to be a cowboy and makes his way to America, travels from New Orleans to Independence on a steamboat, hires on as a teamster to Santa Fe, then on a cattle drive to Bozeman, Montana. He also rides shotgun on a stagecoach. He travels with a wagon train, and on his two-year journey, he meets some famous people and keeps a journal of his adventures. The book contains a lot of the true stories from my podcast and is now available on Amazon. Visit my webpage for a link to Amazon for the book, Coal Miner to Cowboy.
Good morning, Dr. History.
Good morning, Zeb.
How are you?
Good. A little rain out there today.
Oh, really? Already?
Oh, just a little. Just a little sprinkle.
It,
nothing.
It rained about 6 o'clock here.
Yeah.
A little bit, not much.
Yeah, we got a little nothing to puddle up.
So. Nothing to puddle up?
Make puddles, you know.
Sounds like you're training a Pekingese or something.
Okay, we'll get right into this. So here's a guy that I'm going to bet most people haven't heard of. His name is Hiram Vasquez.
I have never.
But kind of an interesting story about this guy. So here it is. It's 1847 and near Fort Bridger. Four-year-old High Vasquez and his six-year-old sister Imelda were at the fort. And they saw that the post gate was wide open, so they made their escape and headed out to get out of the fort for a while. And they ran across the prairie, just having a good time running through the grass and stuff. And they were about a quarter of a mile from the fort when they heard the pounding of a horse's hoofs.
Uh-oh, this doesn't sound good.
High looked over his shoulder and saw a Shoshone warrior riding down on them. Well, here's what he said years later. He said, quote, "Sister got away." But then he related the rest of his experience. He said his chubby little four-year-old legs would not carry him fast enough. Suddenly, the Shoshone strong arm scooped up the little boy onto his pony, and little High and his captor rode away from Fort Bridger up into the foothills of the Wasatch Mountains to the Shoshone camp.
Really?
And it was not unusual, you know, to capture the white kids, you know.
They took the boys back in those days and not the girls so much, didn't they?
A lot of times,
yeah.
So Hiram Vasquez was born in St. Louis, Missouri in 1843. His father died when Hiram was a baby, and his mother married a trapper and a trader named Colonel Pierre Louise Vasquez. So that's where he got his last name.
How would you like to write your checks out with that name?
I think you said Colonel Vasquez.
Okay.
So his new stepfather was very experienced in the wilderness and had doings with the Indians and fur traders. In fact, they called him Old Vasquez for whatever reason. So when Hiram was 3 years old, Colonel Vasquez piled his new family into a covered wagon with a team of oxen and headed across the Oregon Trail to Fort Bridger. Now, when they got to the new fort, he joined his lifelong friend and partner, Jim Bridger.
Oh, really?
So he was good friends with Jim Bridger.
Oh.
And there they traded with the Indians and the mountain men, and they had a pretty good business going back and forth there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of Hiram's best friends was Jim Bridger's son, young Felix Bridger.
Never heard of him.
And I hadn't either. So anyway, Felix Bridger was about the same age, about Must have been about 5 or 6 years old.
Well, now, did the Bridger family reside fairly close to that area?
Yeah, well, the Bridger, when it was Fort Bridger, yeah, they lived there.
Well, I know, but Jim Bridger originally came from where? Back east.
Oh, gosh, I don't know, Missouri or...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You had a story on him once.
Yeah.
Time. Okay.
So, anyway, when he was just a little boy, before he got kidnapped, he was friends with Felix Bridger. Well, Colonel Vasquez knew that Indians liked to kidnap white children, and he had warned the kids about going outside the stockade, but High and Imelda wanted to play with the children of the friendly Indians camped by the river in their teepees, children of the French-Canadian trappers who were part of the fort. So they just wanted to go play with these kids that were, the Canadian trappers that were married to Indian women.
I see.
So the Shoshones had often traded their beaver skins and buffalo robes to Colonel Vasquez and Jim Bridger at the new fort. But for some reason, no strange Indians had been seen around the stockade on that day when High and Imelda had been out there. So they had no way of knowing that a Shoshone warrior was out there kind of prowling through the area. Well, when the warrior grabbed High, he pulled him up onto his pony and took off at a gallop. And, of course, the little kid was terrified, 4 years old.
Oh,
you don't
know
what's going on.
At 40 years of age, wouldn't you be terrified?
Even 40, I'd have been scared.
Right.
Yeah. So as the fort faded in the distance, however, the little boy actually began to enjoy this adventure.
You're kidding.
Now, Imelda, no doubt, went back and told their parents that Hiram had been taken. So at the Shoshone camp, the warrior carried High into the main lodge and stood him before Chief Washakie. And you've heard of him.
I have.
The warrior told the Shoshone chief that he had brought the white child as a gift. Now, the Indians loved children, and Chief Washakie showed his pleasure at the warrior's gift. Now, although the chief had a lot of sons and daughters, High was kind of a special child for some reason. And he says, he treated me like a daddy. This is what Hiram said.
No kidding.
Treated him really well.
Yeah.
So Chief Washakie gave High a buffalo robe to sleep on in his own elk skin lodge, indicating that that would be High's home from then on, to live with Washakie in his lodge. In the days that followed, High ran free in the camp. Chief Washakie taught the young captive how to shoot a bow and arrow until he became an expert at killing small game. He learned how to make a bow by splicing two buffalo ribs and wrapping them with sinew. For the rest of his life, Hiram hunted with a bow.
Oh, no, hang on a second.
Okay.
How far, supposedly, was the Shoshone camp from Fort Bridger?
I don't know, but it said the Wasatch.
Well, the reason I'm saying that is that the brave that took the boy had to go a certain distance back to their camp. Why didn't the cavalry or the members of the army not say, maybe that's where he's at?
Yeah, good question. And I guess maybe not even knowing if he was dead or alive. Or what, they didn't know if it was a Shoshone Indian or a Blackfeet. So they didn't know what tribe had taken the boy. So they wouldn't really have known where to go. But the seasons passed, and he forgot what little he remembered of his mom and his dad and his sister, Imelda. He kind of forgot that. Chief Washakie refused him permission to accompany other Shoshones when they went to the trading post because he was afraid he'd be recognized as a white child. Okay, so High was kind of jealous. He wanted to see where the bright beads, the knives, and the other things came from. But Chief Washakie told him, says, there's danger. The white people will kill you. Don't go near them.
So he realize he was white?
He knew he was different. But, he was taken at 4 years old, so still not very old. Well, his stepfather, Colonel Vasquez, saw an opportunity. So he actually opened a store in what later became Salt Lake City. And that would actually be a move that would later play a part in his discovery, in High's discovery. So one day when High was 9 years old, the Shoshone camp looked down on the Great Salt Lake. They were going to go down and do some trading. So he watched the Shoshones prepare to go into town the next day to trade their furs and their blankets for supplies. And he decided he was going to go alone and at night to go down into Salt Lake, Salt Lake City.
Okay.
So he waited until things were quiet and the campfire was kind of down, and he gathered up his buffalo robe and his bow and quiver of arrows over his shoulder, and he crept real quietly down between the lodges. And anyway, he got down there into Salt Lake. Now, picture this. He's wearing a breech cloth, leggings, decorated deerskin shirt. But here he is. He's blonde. He's blue-eyed, Shoshone boy, who rode down the mountain into Salt Lake City.
Really?
So he looks different, even though he is, you know, probably pretty dark-skinned.
Yeah.
So he says, I went to a corral and found a place to just kind of double up in a corner and go to sleep. Well, he couldn't speak English, and when he woke up the next morning to the sound of women's voices, well, he slipped out of the corral and walked around the town. And a man spotted the young Indian boy looking in his door and, using hand gestures, invited him in, and he fed him some bread and meat and began asking him questions.
I have a question about the speaking.
Yeah,
but wait a minute. He was 4 years of age.
Okay, by now he's 9.
Okay, but he still had a semblance of the English language
but
when he was
much.
4 years old.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he forgot that?
Well, you know, by 5 years, he's speaking Shoshone. So he probably didn't remember much, you know, at 4 years old. But anyway, the man realized that he was really white, and the man sent for an old mountain man who lived nearby, knowing he'd be able to interpret the boy's language. The trapper discovered that High was from Chief Washakie's Shoshone Band, and suddenly he remembered that old Vasquez, his stepfather, over at Fort Bridger, had a son who had disappeared 5 years ago.
Oh, my.
So when the trapper spoke the name of Vasquez, High remembered. The little boy remembered.
He remembered
that name. So he patted his chest, indicating that Vasquez was his name. So he did have that memory. Well, so knowing that a Shoshone trading party was approaching the settlement, they told High to stay indoors in case the Shoshones saw him and wanted to, you know, take him back. But they prepared him to reunite with his family at Fort Bridger. And High said, quote, I strongly objected when they wanted to cut my hair. He had long hair, which, you know, that's what they did. And Shoshone braves always wore braids, and only the women cut their hair. So to cut his hair made him feel like a girl. He just didn't feel right. Well, they deloused him and put him in a tub of hot water. And finally, when it was safe to travel the trail to Fort Bridger, the old trapper took High home to his parents.
All by himself?
Well, with this trapper. The trapper.
No. I mean, but the trapper was the only one that took him back?
Yeah. Back to Fort Bridger.
It's funny that the young boy didn't. How old was he then?
Well, he's 9 years old now.
Okay.
So now he knows that he's got family up at Fort Bridger. So anyway, his family welcomed him with tears of joy. He faintly remembered his sister, Imelda. But Imelda, kind of an interesting thing, after Hiram had disappeared, Mrs. Vasquez, High's mom, she was afraid the Indians might also take her, and so she enrolled her in the Marcus Whitman Mission School in Washington Territory. She sent Imelda with Jim Peck's wagon train to Oregon, and they never heard another word from the wagon train or Imelda. So
the little girl was maybe lost in a massacre or something?
Yeah. I mean, they don't know.
They have no idea?
No idea what happened to the wagon train or the little girl. So
it disappeared?
Well, probably was attacked. I mean, that's got to be the most logical, right? So, unfortunately, the mother, in trying to save her daughter, really probably lost.
Oh, my goodness.
So anyway, High discovered he had some new siblings who were strangers to him, and none of them spoke Shoshone. Well, Felix Bridger, his half-blood friend, and Felix's father, Jim Bridger, were the only people he could talk to. They knew the language.
Wow.
So his old buddy, Felix, was there to welcome
him
back.
Did he recognize his old friend?
He must have done, because they talked like they were reunited.
Wow.
So for the next few months, Jim Bridger acted as High's interpreter. Although Bridger couldn't read or write English, he spoke Spanish fluently and was well-versed in various Indian dialects. So Jim Bridger, he could speak a number of different Indian languages.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hymer's mother could hardly believe that her boy couldn't understand a word she said. She spent the next year teaching him to read and write English. He also learned to speak Spanish fluently. which I thought was interesting. But the next few years, High often visited the Shoshone camp at Chief Washakie's request.
Wait a minute. Now, this is really interesting. He went back to where he had been held captive, basically, and they let him go back and forth?
Well, here's the reason. Because the chief knew that High was the stepson of his longtime friend, Colonel Vasquez, Old Haskus. They were friends.
Wow.
So Washakie had his friend's stepson as a captain.
Now, I'm confused. Did Washakie know when the boy was abducted the first time?
No.
No.
So it wasn't until later. And so High could go into the camp and say, hey, you know, my stepdad is Colonel Vasquez, Old Vasquez.
Wow.
And so after he would stay for a few days, Chief Washakie let High go back to Fort Bridger, no problem. So they developed really a pretty good relationship with his kind of adopted family. So in 1855, when Hiram was 12, Colonel Vasquez took his family back to St. Louis, and he says, we went to the Platte route. He said the buffalo were around us for 14 days. There were millions of them. And the family lived in St. Louis until Hiram was a young man. When the Civil War started, he again headed west. He left Missouri partly because he didn't want to take up arms against friends that he had on both sides of the conflict. And he also, he wanted to go west. His blood was, you know, out here in the west. So Hiram and Felix Bridger signed up as water carriers on a wagon train. And on a 40-mile leg, Hiram passed what is today Walsenburg, Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Walsenburg. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Well, he stopped to water his mule as he crossed the, I'm not how to say this, the Kachara River, which was the last water for many miles. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, he started across this plateau between the Arkansas and Purgatory Rivers, another 40 miles, and he rode at a steady pace until dawn. Only 60 more miles to go. All the way, Hiram could think only of his friends back at the fort. So he's a young man now.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's kind of on his own. Anyway, he was riding his faithful little mule without stopping to eat or sleep. By 9 a.m., he was off the plateau and headed into the Arkansas Valley. He had 40 miles to go, traveling at 6 miles an hour. And here he is. He's riding beneath a blazing sun during the middle of the day. And finally, at 3 p.m., tired, hungry, thirsty, he saw a faint outlaw on the horizon, and he got to Fort Lyon, 5 miles away. He was tired. He rode on. And anyway, he actually had quite an amazing ride by himself over miles and miles of dry, dusty desert. But he actually was going there because he was going to Fort Francisco to tell the colonel that there was trouble going on, and so the colonel could send troops to help with trouble that was going on.
Where was this?
He got to Fort Lyon, and I'm not sure where that's at.
Fort Francisco, it sounds like, is it on the coast in California?
I think so.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, they had some trouble with some of the Indians over there, and so he was able to warn them, and they were able to avert a disaster.
Wow.
So, anyway, he lived the rest of his life around the Cachura Valley, finally settling in a place called La Vita.
Mm-hmm.
And he married 3 times. He raised 13 children, and he died June 7th in 1939 at the age of 93.
Oh, my.
And today people in the valley call him the Patriarch of La Vita, a man to be remembered.
Wow.
So let me show you a picture of him.
Yeah, let me see that.
Of course, this is...
No, this is the guy right there that was taken captive.
That he was captive, yeah.
Well, kind of a sinister-looking left eye, isn't it?
Yeah. Makes you wonder if he might have had a battle or two.
I mean...
And here's a picture of his stepdad, Colonel Vasquez.
That was his stepdad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Trapper, guide, good friends with Jim Bridger.
Uh-huh.
And here's a picture of Fort Bridger in 1849.
1849.
Yeah. So there's a stockade around it.
Let me see that. There was a stockade around there.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Wow. You know, it's interesting, all these stories of the Old West, and a lot of times I've found through some research that they called these places forts, but basically all they were like log cabins.
Right. In fact, it was almost the exception to have a stockade around a lot of these.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of them were just like you said. They were cabins, but they were well protected because the Indians were concerned about that they had a pretty good supply of troops, you know, military presence at these forts.
Yeah.
So they really didn't attack him, even if there wasn't a stockade.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so interesting. And he died in 1939.
Yeah. He was born in 1847. You know, so what did I say? It was like
almost
93
years
so
old.
Think of what he saw in his lifetime from crossing the plains.
I know, but did historians really record and write down a lot of his experiences?
Okay, this was written. This is out of a 1995. Old West magazine.
I see.
And so this was an interview that was done by a gal by the name of Ruth Lanza, who interviewed him and got his actual story.
Wow. You did it again. I'm infatuated with that story. I like that one.
Yeah. And the thing I like is that he adopted right into the tribe and was accepted, and Washakie loved the boy.
Yeah.
Took care of him.
But he's got an evil eye.
He's got a weird-looking eye.
He does. Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.